should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Of course, he's showing here that my calling is to preach the word of God. And I have to be a partaker myself, but I can't glory in what I'm doing. But then he goes on in verse 17 and said, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I'll make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Anyway, it goes on, but his point is that if God can help me to get my will, where I'm not doing this, it's not a job, it's not something that I have to yield to do. But if I can get my will involved, if I can get my will yielded over to God to do what He's called me to do. And it doesn't matter, you might not be called to preach the gospel, but you still have to get this same place he was getting to, where he was saying, I want this to get in my will. Because if I just do it because I'm compelled to do it, all right? In other words, I feel that I have to do it, but it's not really in my will. In other words, I have to make myself do. It's like serving God. If you have to make yourself serve God, if you have to make yourself come to church, and you'll start off that way. You'll start off, when you come here, you'll feel God. If this place is really a house of God, then you'll feel God's Spirit here. God will talk to your heart here. And you'll lack the feeling of God. God feels good. I'd never met anybody that didn't like the way God feels, didn't like His Spirit. But then when you leave out of here and go home, that feeling leaves you. It gets off of you. You don't just walk around every day feeling God like you feel Him in here. And you get back in yourself. You get out of the presence of God and the wooing of God. And you'll have to make yourself come here. Most people come here because they get to a point where they feel like they need something. And they've tried about everything and nothing seems to satisfy. So they decide to come to church. And that's God dealing with them. Or you may just be coming because somebody's harps on you so much that you just want to shut them up. So you come on and so that you can get them off your back. That's how I got started coming. I had somebody harping at me and I got sick of it. And I said, I'm going to church. I'm going to get these people off my back. But when I got here, I felt God. And He dealt with my heart, and in His mercy, and in spite of me, He saved me. But it wasn't automatic the next... that lasted me for a little while. I was gung-ho, Brother Weaver. But a little while, I got to where something came up, and I didn't feel like going, and that, my will got in the way. And I had to make myself come anyway. Well, I found out that is a key to if you can get here, even if you have to make your flesh come, God will begin to work in your life. You'll feel Him again when you come. And of course, finally, this is to get more in your life to where it'll begin to work into your will. I don't have to make myself come to church anymore. It's automatic. I know that may sound strange to you that a preacher ever had to make himself go to church. Y'all heard me tell that joke about that boy, you know, said, his mama said, "Get up, son, you got to go to church this morning." He said, "I don't feel like going." Rolled over in the bed. About 30 minutes later, she went in there and woke him up. She said, "Get up, it's time to go to church." He said, "I don't want to go today." She said, "You have to go." He said, "I don't want to go. I don't even think those people down there don't even like me." And he said, "I don't even like some of them." And she said, "Well, you have to go. You're the pastor." Well, sometimes it's hard to realize that a minister is, he's just a man. And he has trouble with his flesh. And he has to finally get to a place. Here the Apostle Paul, with all God wrought in his life, he was saying, "I got to do this. I got to get this in my will. There's things inside of me still resisting. I want to give over. I want to give my will over to that. I want to get to a place that," he said, if I don't get this really in my will, then my reward is going to be that I had a dispensation of the gospel ministered to me. In other words, I went to church. I felt God. God blessed me. And the Lord touched my life. I learned things. But just like Brother York said, I never did finish my work. God never was able to finish the work in me. I never got to a place that I had no more trouble with my will. It was completely His will was wrought in me, and my will was His will. Jesus said, "My will is to do the will of my Father." My God, I'd like to say that and really know that I meant it from the depths of my heart, that my will was to do His will. That's what I want. How many of you, if God told you today, "Now I'm going to cause you to serve me, and I'm going to use you. In a little while, I'm going to take you to a place where men are going to throw you in a prison. You're going to live in a terrible condition. And I want you to know that that's going to be my will. Because I'm going to work something in your life while you're in there, and I'm going to work." How would you like to be humbled that much? A preacher, man of God, doing miracles. Now here he is in a prison. He can heal other people, but he can't get all his needs met. But you know, God could have snapped his fingers and the Roman government would have turned him loose or never would even put him in prison. Paul had to realize, "I'm in the will of God down here in this dungeon." My God. And this is God's will. Here I am, I'm writing letters to the churches. I'm getting free meals. Bread and water, probably. It's cold in here. Rats is running around in here. There's no light. When it gets dark, it's dark, dungeon dark. How many of you likes dark, total pitch darkness? This is God's will. You know what most people would do? And say, "I'm through with this gospel deal. This God don't care no more about me than this." Oh, we've never, you know, there's a proverb that says, if you grow weary with the footman, what are you going to do when the horsemen get here? If you battle, if the temptation and trial you're going through is causing you to be weary, and it's not even that you ain't even in the heat of the battle yet. In a little while, the horsemen, chariots, they're coming. Well, I'm not trying to paint you a picture and tell you God's going to throw you in prison just if you serve Him, but I'm just saying to get to a place that you're going to do God's will no matter what. No matter what happens, you're going to serve Him. That's the way every one of us ought to feel about serving God. That's the way when we get married, you know, most of us need a helpmate. There's not too many eunuchs. You get married and God joins you together. You can say, well, I ain't sure God joined me together. Well, let me tell you something. Let me read you a scripture in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let's start in the 17th. It says, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. That would be impossible, wouldn't it? Is any man called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But the keeping of the commandments, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. he's dealing with marriage, and he just uses circumcision to show what he's talking about. He's showing how if you're married to an unbeliever, but you may save them. But what he's saying is if you come to serve God and you've got a spouse and they're not a believer, don't you try to get rid of that spouse. Try to save them. In other words, what he's saying is I'm accepting you. However you come to me, I'll sanction your life. I'll sanction that and honor it. So, whether you married in the Lord or not, when you come to God, you're in the Lord, and He'll sanction where He'll take you like you are. You're not supposed to try to change that. I don't care what kind of struggle you go through in your marriage, you better stay married. That's what the Bible says to do. Don't try to get uncircumcised if you're circumcised. Don't try to change your life. Learn how to get your will over to God and let God work in your life. But it's when we try to work our own will. When we try to work it out for ourselves. Now that don't mean that there's not situations. I understand there's exceptions. But I'm talking about the general rule. Of course, if you're going through trouble, then you're looking for the exception maybe. But we have to... But I know this about God. God is not the author of division. God wants peace. God wants unity. God wants us to learn how to stay in His will and work His will out in our lives. You may say, well, what about me, Brother Smith? I'm already divorced. And I wasn't able to stick it out. Well, then stay like, you know, in other words, here you are. Don't try to go back and fix that. But learn how to let God begin to work His will in your life. And learn how to yield your life over to Him. That's the problem. We try to fix things ourselves without yielding over to God. Let me tell you how you can start feeling. You can feel God. You can feel... Like if you're going through something in life and things don't feel right, you're striving in your spirit and you're unsettled and there's things in your heart and life that's troubles, it's troublesome spirit in your life. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to fall on your face and begin to humble yourself. Because when self gets in the way, that's pride. And unless you humble yourself before God, and if you, here's how you know when you get humble. is when you feel like a dish rag and the Spirit of God has soaked you up. You just feel like, I've just got delivered. I just got freed of my troubles. That's when you'll know I've yielded over to God. I've got my will into His will now. And it's hard. We can't always do that. Sometimes you can try. I know exactly what I'm talking about because I've tried. I've got in situations in my life where I couldn't yield over to God. I tried, but I couldn't get there. But I got along far enough with God that I said, you're going to keep going, boy, and you're going to keep asking God for help until you finally get it. See, I put that determination, because you know why I did that? It's because I knew there was nowhere else I could go. There was nowhere that I could go. I didn't want my life back in the world, full of the scars of the world, and full of my life, my mind, my will, my pride. I didn't want to give up everything I'd gained. I knew that I couldn't go backwards. But I knew if I was going to go forward, I had to get myself to church. And I had to keep petitioning God for help. And I knew it was me. I knew I was the one that's in the way. But I didn't know how to get out of the way. And I just kept asking God. Let me tell you what happened. One day he met with me. One day His mercy. I came to church and His mercy met me. He delivered me that day. And He just began to lift me up out of that condition. It wasn't all overnight, but I felt His touch. I felt His deliverance. The power of God came. Let me tell you something. You can go a long ways when you feel God's assistance and His Spirit working in your life again. But it's when you get in a condition where you can't feel Him, and somewhere you got your will in the way so much that God, that you lost that connection with God and His direction of directing your lives, and you put emphasis on situations more than you did God and your walk with Him and His will in your life, or your faith that He can help you. I was talking here, sometimes I'm afraid to talk on marriage. You know, I talked here not too long ago on the vicious circle. How many of you remember that? I don't like talking on that. I really do. I like explaining it. But you know what that does? It stirs up the devil. It does. You know, because I'm running your flag. I'm running you up a flagpole. I run us all up it. And we say, there he is hanging up there. And then you think, I'm going to do something to get him down from there. And you start trying to work on that, which we need to do. But it stirs all that up. It creates trouble in the church, and I don't like trouble. I like peace. Yeah, if y'all never called me again with a problem, and you just kept showing up, shouting and hollering, glory be to Jesus, and running, and the Spirit of God working in your life, I'd be tickled to death. I know that ain't going to happen. That's my job, solving problems. Yeah, job security. Yeah. It's never, a preacher never has to worry about losing it, working himself out of a job. Or getting laid off, yeah. If he's doing his job, but... But for this to get in our will, and you know, the reason I'm bringing up marriage here is because relationships, this, our relationship with the Lord, it depends on your relationship with mankind, and. You know, last time I talked on this, I put so much emphasis on husbands and wives making it. Sister Inez came up to me after that. She said, are you saying we all need to be married? She'll find out. I tell everything. I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. She said, phew. No, she didn't really say that. But I could tell she is glad when I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. I don't think everybody's, you know, necessarily, if you know, needs to be married. I think if you can serve God without being married, that's good. If God wants you to be married, well, you'll need to get married. But if you're married, now see in this chapter, look in the 29th verse. It says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. What he was saying there, that was down in the very end of the Jewish world, and God's judgment was fixing to come on that world. And he was telling them, look, we're down in a place where if you're not married, don't try to be married. And even if you are married, you need to set all your affection and your focus on Jesus, serving him. Be as though you're not married, even though you are married. No, don't leave. Stay together. But your focus needs to be just like somebody that's single, because the time was short. Now we're not living, we're not in that parallel of time yet. See, but when we're gonna down in the end of this world, we'll get in a condition where we'll have to give ourselves wholly and completely over to serving him. And trying to finish the work that God's working in us. Because he's trying to get us, our will, his will, worked in our lives. And you know what his will is? It's our perfection. It's our completeness. For God to his complete work to be wrought in us, where we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That he's accomplished his will and his purpose in our lives to a point that it's not that you won't have any will. It just be your will changes to righteousness. You understand what your talents and what your gifts are and how God wants to use them. And you begin to work with God. And you begin to work in his righteousness. And you begin to see how God works and how he wants you to work. And your relationship is built in him and with him to a point that he's accomplishing you what he wants you out of your life. You know, a lot of people, you know how most people look at religion? Is I do whatever I want to do and I try to live a righteous life. I try to live righteously. You know, that's because the church has fallen to a condition that's projected that in society. That you can live any way you want to, but just go to church and get your conscience soothed over and where you feel like you're all right, but just go ahead and do whatever you want to do in life. Brother Sutmiller was mentioning yesterday about people having a hard time, you know, even with just our natural family, can't give up natural family. They can't give up. They're not willing, you know. If it means giving up my family, I won't serve it. You have to be willing to give up anything. In other words, if your family is against you serving God, you'll have to serve God as your family likes it or not. And if they all turn against you, you'll have to still serve Him. And I'll tell you this, nobody wants to be around a Christian that's dedicated very long. You'll feel uncomfortable around them unless you're one too. And you once you grow to a place, you realize you can make people feel more comfortable without, you know, trying to, you can help them be around you. You can make them feel good for a while. But no matter how hard you try, they're going to feel uncomfortable. Because your very existence condemns them. They have a condemnation comes on them. Because of the Spirit of God and the workings of God in your life. They feel that so strong. They see things in your life that they don't have in theirs. And it brings condemnation. Oh, if God, we could get God. We could learn to yield. I thought of that song. My sister Inez was talking about Brother Wright. He made a good talk at the campground. My old pastor, C.T. Gray, he used to sit on the piano bench next to his wife and sing, "I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Thy perfect will. And if valleys I must trod, to do Thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill." You ever heard that old chorus? Go over and play it for me. We'll sing it to you. "I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Thy perfect will. And if valleys I must trod, to do Thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill." Lord, to go, I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Thy perfect will. But if valleys I must trod, to do Thy perfect will, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. Drop it just a little bit. Yeah, a little bit lower, I think.
That was too low for you.
You did?
"I'm willing,
Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Thy perfect will." Raise it a half a step, maybe a step. We'll get it in a minute. All right, let's go back to it. Let's see if we can get it. All right.
"I'm willing,
Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Thy perfect will. But if valleys I must trod, to do Thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Thy perfect will. But if valleys I must trod, I'll do Thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord,
or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. But if valleys I must trod, to do thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. Sing it. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. But if valleys I must trod, to do thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, stay. Keep singing it. This is what you've got to say to be saved. You've got to tell God, I'm willing, Lord, for you to work your will in my life. I'm ready, God, to turn my life over to you. I want your will. Because I've made a wreck, a mess out of my life. Oh, Lamb of God. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. But if valleys I must cross, to do thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. But if valleys I must trod, to do thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest. Yes, I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord. Perfect will. But in valleys I must trod, it be thy will. I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy valleys I must trod, to do thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or heart climb the highest hill.
I just wonder if there's somebody here today that say, Brother Smith, I'd like to give my life to God. I'd like to be saved. I'd just like to come up and be prayed for, and I'd like to ask God to save me. I'd like to become a part of His family. Let Him work His will in my life. The Bible said the steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. God will order your steps. He'll direct your life. He'll help you. But it's a process. You start out by repenting, turning your life over to Him and accepting Jesus as your Savior. Then coming to church and beginning to learn more about Him, more how to serve Him, learning the Word of God, and let Him become a part of your family, your home, your everyday life. He'll begin to work His will in your life, bring peace and blessings. Is there somebody here today that says, I want to be saved? If you're here, we'll sing this a couple more times. If you'd like to be saved today, slip out of your pew and walk up here. We'll pray with you, pray for you. God will save your life. He'll forgive you of your past sins. You can walk out of here with no condemnation, completely free of sin, condemnation in your life. Even some of our young people, they've been in here a long time, but some of them never have really repented and, you know, started out making a real decision. They just grew up in here, and it always was, you know, just the thing to do. They reach a place in life where they have to make decisions. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to ask God to accept me. This is my decision. I'm yielding my will over to Him. I want Him. I want to turn my life over to Him. You brethren, come pray for these young people. I want to give you time here just a little while. God's dealing with your heart. Don't turn Him away today. Say, God, I need You in my life. I want to raise my children up. I want my home to be blessed and covered and protected. I want Your righteousness really wrought in my heart and in my life. Oh God, bless His wonderful name. He'll touch you today. He'll save you. Hallelujah. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Thy perfect will. If valleys I must draw, to do Thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Thy perfect will. And if valleys I must cross, to do Thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay.
I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. But if valleys I must trod, to do thy will, O God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. But if valleys I must trod, to do thy will, O God. O God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hila bahurianda la la bahuria satan. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, my God. My God, my God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God. Work your will in our lives, Jesus. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. But if valleys I must stroll, to do thy will, O God, I'll walk in, Lord, or climb the highest hill.
I'm willing,
Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. Oh, God, work your will. Jesus, he tell him a hurry up. Yes, Jesus, he tell him a hurry up. Yes, God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm willing, Lord.
blessing today, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost speak, Sister Wilson. Just let it go. Turn your tongue loose and let God use you. Let God bless you today. He la 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 la
la.
Seek him.
I'm willing,
seek God,
Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. Oh, if that is, I must try to do thy will, Lord. God. And I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. Oh, I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. If valleys I must draw to do thy will, oh God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. Oh, I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. To do thy perfect will. If valleys I must draw, oh, to do thy will, oh God, I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. Yes, I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. If valleys I must draw, to do thy will, oh God, I'll walk him, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. If valleys I must to do thy will, oh God, I'll walk him, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. If valleys I must cross, to do thy will, oh God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'll walk him, Lord, or climb the highest hill. will.
Hallelujah. Bless His
wonderful
name. If
that is I'm a strong to do Thy will, O God, I'll walk Him, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go.
I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord,
to do Thy perfect will. Do Thy will, O God. I'll walk Him, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Thy perfect will. In valleys I must draw, oh, to do Thy will, oh God. I'll walk Him, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to do Thy perfect will. In valleys I must trod, to do Thy will, oh God. I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill.
Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank God for this good touch here. Wonderful Spirit of the Lord. We'll be seated a few minutes. We do want to take up the prayer request and receive your offerings, tithes and offerings today. We still have to pay the bills. Praise God. I want all of you to know how much I appreciate you. Those of you that came Friday night and cleaned the church and worked to get things ready for the fellowship meeting yesterday, and then wasn't the food good, and all the workers in the dining room. We appreciate everyone that helps, works and labors around here. I want to encourage you to work for the Lord. Serve God's people. He'll bless you. You'll find there's a great blessing in that. Maybe we want to pray for the food, but let's remember the needs that we have too today. We hadn't took time to mention our needs. Keep remembering Brother Mark, Sister Sherry, their home. They need to get their home sold. He's got a job here, and his job ended there, and so. And they're looking for a home. Pray God would keep praying. Let's try to remember. You know, make a little list. Go down it every day. Say, God, our church. This is our local church You put me in, and I want You to know that I'm praying for the needs of our assembly. And let's help one another. And when we have a need, let's pray for one another. Not just while we're here, but on a continual basis. And Brother Doug and Sister Yvonne signed the papers on their home and got everything moved out, cleaned up. Brother Durham told me they They've got the money in their hand. So they're on their way down here today. They've got everything out. And they've sold their home, and they don't even have a home to go to. So here they come. Let's pray. God would keep helping them. And I know Brother Mark and Sister Sherry, they're not liking this being apart very much. Brother Mark needs her. He don't hardly know how to function without her. He lived so many years alone, and he got married, and he likes it so much he don't know how to get by anymore. So let's pray her down here. What else? Who had their hand up? Back, Sister Oates. Yes. All right. Just remember that. He's got a job interview. Brother Spencer. He's having problems with his hernia. He's already had two surgeries. So let's pray God will heal him of that. Brother Dodson. All right. Sister Catherine. Pray for her. Brother Matthew. All right. I pray God will help them get a home. Yes. All right. Let's remember that. Yes. Much better job than what he had, Sister Elsie. All right. Family, unspoken request. Sister Gail back there, she, I'm sure, would appreciate your prayers. God would help her. Yes, Sister Abraham. All right. Remember that. Remember Jonathan especially. What else? Yes, Sister Joanne. Sorry. All right. Brother Wallace has started physical therapy. Really suffering, so remember that. Yes. All right, that's Sister Terry Durham's grandparents, and she takes care of them. She's all they have, and she's, matter of fact, been at the point of death several times, and it looks like if God doesn't touch her, that she's not going to live long. So, and then that's a real burden on them for moving down here is to try to even wondering whether or not she could make the move. So, but Brother Rhodes has really improved. If he gets down here, you'll get a kick out of him. He's sort of feeble, but if he gets up here to the pulpit, he'll hang on to it with one hand and dance around while he's hanging on to the pulpit, and then he'll preach to us. He loves the Word of God. They're out of the Kankakee Church. And they've been a real blessing to us in the Republic. And I just, but they're, how old are they, Sister Terry? 85 and 86. So they're up in years. But, you know, God could touch them and give them some more years. Let's just pray God's will. And especially touch Sister Rhodes. She really needs a touch. All right. All right. Sister Jackie Tucker's really asking that we keep praying for her. Sister Wilkins. All right. All right. All right. Remember Sister Wilkins' family. Also pray for Brother and Sister Durham's home to sell. They're, you know, when they bought it was when the economy was up high, and now it's not worth as much as they owe on it. And they, even with the equity that they had in it, they're going to lose their equity. But really, that's all that's hindering Brother and Sister Durham from moving. They need to sell that house. And Brother Durham has a retirement. He'll have to buy into it to get his full retirement, but he can do that. And they could move within 30 to 60 days if they could sell that home. So let's pray God would help them. Brother Jacob Durham, Sister Terry, let's pray for their, Brother Michael's home needs to sell. The church, my farm and home needs to sell. Sister Josh, okay. All right, your mom. All right, Brother Golden. All right. All right. Really appreciated the Lord, seeing the Lord touch these young people today. Well, everyone that got a touch, just such makes such a difference, the touch of God in our lives. All right, let's stand. Pray for the food, too, that we're. Oh God, thank you, Lord, for this service, your goodness to us, these needs, oh God. Precious Savior, we just lift these needs up to you. We entrust you, Lord, to meet every one of them according to your will, Father. Oh God, thank you for touching us the way you are. Thank you, Lord, for your assistance and your strength. Oh, we appreciate it, Father. I love you, Lord. I appreciate your goodness. Oh, Savior, Savior, Savior. Meet these needs, Father. These conditions in Republic, God. Help us with them, Lord. We know you are helping us, but we're just lifting them up, asking you, Lord, would you help us? Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Thank you for the food today that we're about to eat and the fellowship for blessing us and helping us here today. Bless this offering, Lord. Oh God, as your people give. Amen, amen. All right. Maybe, okay. Sister Terry, you want to sing a song for the offering? If you got a money bringing in song? If not, just pick one that you do sing and maybe when I help her out. See, if we get a poor offering, I'm going to be getting on to her. But if y'all will help her, she won't be in any trouble. And I'm just kidding. She knows that. I never have got on to her much. I know.
service. I've enjoyed it. Maybe I can just testify with her. I want to go on with God. That was encouraging to me. Think that song we sang at the beginning, I thought, and I'll give you a little thought. Me and Brother Dern was talking. To worship the Lord. What does that word mean, Brother Durham?
Well, it can mean a voluntary humility.
A voluntary humility.
Warming yourself to the image of what you're worshiping.
To warming yourself to the image of what you're worshiping.
Receiving the grace that
you've got. So he can loose the bands, because he giveth grace to the humble, see?
Yeah.
And when you praise God, that's an act of humility.
Yeah.
And you need that. You're the one that needs to praise more than God needs to receive the praise. He'll receive it if you'll humble yourself and to God. He'll give you grace. He'll loose those bands and the chains that bind you. And so I'm doing as good as I can do over here. She could sing the phone book. She's a good singer.
Sister Durham requested one, so I didn't put you on the spot, I'm sorry. We were just having a hard time thinking. I am thankful to be here tonight, though, or today, and see everybody again. So I appreciate it.
The beginning of time, He was the Creator, and into existence He spoke the heavenly blue. And with one mighty swoop of His hand, He threw out the stars. He knew where they'd land. So if you think you're just drifting along, then I have good news. If He hung the moon, I know He will help you. And if He holds the sparrow in flight, He'll hold you too. Consider the lilies of the field, how much more He loves you. In the beginning of time, you were on His mind when He hung the moon. Your shoulders, and even your closest friend in life is pulling away, and though you have tried so hard. Just look to the cross, and there Savior really loves you today. And if he hung the moon, I know he will help you. And if he holds the sparrow in flight, he'll hold you too. Consider the lilies of the field, how much more he loves you. In the beginning of time, you were on his mind when he hung the moon. And if he hung the sparrow in flight, he'll hold you too. Consider the lilies of the field, how much more he loves you. In the beginning of time, you were on his mind when he hung the moon. Stay
for dinner. We got some dinner downstairs, and then we're having church again at 5. We haven't any kind of practices at 4. Band practice at 4 o'clock. So you're dismissing the care and keeping of the Lord.